Hi everyone, my name's Johnny Scott and I'd like to welcome you to Phoenix On Demand, or POD as we like to call it. This is the 13th in our series of podcasts where we'll be looking to help educate and hopefully entertain you on all things IT. So today we're talking about AI, machine learning and chatbots within the public sector. And as we know, data is at the heart of every single organization in the world. And it's this data that helps us power and drive results to make organizations stand out from the rest. But how can you use this data in new and exciting ways to automate, analyze, and even respond to the needs of those that you serve? So to discuss this further, I have Ben Gannon here from Phoenix, who is our Cloud Solutions Partner Manager. Hi, Ben.
Hi, Johnny.
How are we doing?
I'm good, thank you.
Good.
Pleasure to be here.
Good, thank you. And we also have Rich Brown, who is one of our senior cloud solutions architects here at Phoenix.
Johnny, hi.
Hi. So, guys, can we start by giving the listeners a bit of background on you and your experience within the industry and your roles here at Phoenix? So, Ben, if we start with you.
So, I'm the cloud solutions partner manager here at Phoenix Software. So, I look after our strategic solution integrator partners, a lot of which deal with data and AI. So, my background is supporting them in discussions with customers and making sure that we bring the right customer into those engagements.
Brilliant. Cheers, Ben. And Rich?
Johnny, hi. So Richard Brown. I'm the Azure practice lead. From my perspective, I keep the guys in check. I make sure Phoenix are on track from a technology perspective, you know, keep an eye on what's going on, what's out there, certainly how we can bring that into Phoenix and package that up for the customers, really.
Brilliant. Cheers, Rich. As I say, guys, it's great to have you all with us, and hopefully we'll have some good content at the end of this.
Let's hope so.
For our customers. So all of the terms that I was talking about in the intro there sound a little futuristic and like the robots are taking over. Should we be scared, or do you see this as a natural evolution of technology?
Well, AI is almost a bit of a buzzword in the industry at the moment. Every solution incorporates AI to give the customer something they want. Everyone's talking about AI being able to empower their processes, and I guess I go back to when AI was originally formed. It's a way of mimicking how humans think, but artificially. So at the moment, we don't really have true AI. What we have instead is complex neural networks that can do machine learning for individuals, sure, and organizations.
Good. I guess we're all kind of preconditioned to a degree as to what we think AI is. We've all seen the films iRobot and Terminator and things like that. So from a young age, we have this idea of what we think AI is, but actually breaking it down into its individual components, it's just people and processes.
So what we had there that you described as the Terminator, that's called general purpose AI. What we have at the moment is narrow purpose AI, where the AI can specifically learn certain tasks or requirements by the data being fed into it, and then it can do those faster, quicker than humans can in a lot of cases.
Okay. So bringing that back to Phoenix and our customers, we deal with organizations in government, education, housing, charities, and more. How are we seeing these technologies being used specifically within those industries?
I think the most obvious one is as a sort of either customer or citizen facing sort of chatbot. That's one of the first pieces of AI people look at, sort of where the citizen can go and ask a question such as, what can I put in a blue bin? And rather than a human answer the phone, the machine goes and looks at the response and gives them that answer back.
We're all used to the chatbots online when we're going for service support on a website that we've bought something from or something like that. So is that what you're referring to when we talk about automating some of those processes and support type stuff?
Yeah, and I think there's two reasons why people look at that. Is one, it allows, instead of filling in a form, people have that sort of conversational discussion with the chatbot. But also, instead of having to have somebody sat in a seat in a call centre that they ring up, they can do a single scalable point of entry.
Yeah. Are there any other examples that we've seen outside of the chatbot scenario?
Image recognition. Yeah, that's always a good one. If you look at one of the biggest providers of that sort of image recognition data is Capture. Mm-hmm. So when you sign into a website and you fill that symbols in and you say, this is a car, it's a zebra crossing, that data is then sold to Amazon, Google, Tesla to help do driverless cars. And that's really just using humans to program image recognition software, which then works in a car to drive itself.
That's interesting. So what are the common sort of outcomes that we can expect from such technologies within the public sector specifically? So we touched on, you know, reducing those maybe heads that are required in a service support desk environment. What are the other benefits from that?
So if you think a human can analyse certain amounts of data at a certain amount of speed, a machine, once it's learned how to analyse that data, can analyse lots more data than the human can make those valuable insights from the data the AI provides. Mm. So a really good example I'll speak to someone about this was about making sort of exhibitions and learning experiences more emotional. So having AI image recognition and almost recognition of what's going on in that visual, so they could then teach kids that actually through the ages how people felt, as opposed to just this was the date this happened. And that's done by humans programming the AI, and they can think of what helps people learn and the AI can scan it.
Yeah. And I guess moving on from that, if we look at in a traditional data center environment on an on-premise customer environment, for example, trying to build an AI big data kind of solution deemed quite expensive and quite complex and difficult to do, and there's limited resource out there in the market to deliver this kind of solution. What does the public cloud bring in terms of a new approach to this kind of thing? Does it make it more manageable, easier to do?
Yeah, that's a good question, Joe. I suppose in general, you know, what the cloud does to that, and Ben made some great comments there in actual fact. Looping that on the back of what you've said there, it speeds things up, does the cloud. So, you know, the notion of needing infrastructure or, you know, the know-how to get that going, a lot of what we can leverage now through SDKs and APIs, it's kind of there literally with a couple of clicks of a button. You know, if nothing else, what that does is expedite the actual, the setup or the roll-up of the platform, and it gives you, you know, it gives you a fighting chance in very little to no time to get going with this. So start to exploit that, test it, play with it. AI is kind of, I suppose it's an overarching term that covers a lot of different technologies in actual fact. You know, what we tend to find, certainly from a public sector perspective and certainly an introduction to that is to start to get your toes wet with that. You know, what are other people doing? It is chatbots predominantly. So that's an easy way and relatively few lines of code to get something up and running on there. I guess the magic with AI is how you can start to expand on that then. So, you know, sentiment analysis, to pick up on what Ben said there, vision API and everything else, you know, the sky's the limit really in terms of opening that code base up and starting to bring more and more logic into that platform in actual fact.
Okay. So building on that, one of the really good things about it, especially and I'm thinking here of saying in education, because it's the first example that came to mind, is a chatbot for students to talk to the university where they can ask it questions. And actually when you're building sentiment analysis, that robot can start to spot patterns and trends with that student as to sort of their mental health. And it can help then alert the right individuals at the university to go, okay, you maybe need to speak to these people and actually put some support. So rather than having a human who can get fatigued and tired, that chatbot can spot that at a much larger
scale. Absolutely. It's exponentially more useful and a lot faster at doing that. And it never tires. So that's quite right, Ben.
Yeah, that's a really, really good example. And I guess if we think in healthcare specifically as well, Ben, you touched on some of the image recognition and things like that. I suppose that, you know, just from a naive perspective, you know, I'm not an AI expert, but surely that translates into looking
there's
at
no
X-ray images and things like that. So, you know, there's potentially an angle there, do you think?
Well, there's potentially an angle there, especially if you think about how you could maybe train the doctor nurse of the future. Is actually the AI can be trained watching videos and recordings of surgery done and actually show what's going on. And actually as somebody, a newer person will be supported by you, but they might have glasses on and those glasses might be showing them as well what to do inside that person. And really it allows them to make sure that procedure is safer, because humans tire. The robot never does.
Absolutely. And I mean, we've seen that start. I've certainly personally seen a few demos with HoloLens, and much the same as what you've just explained there. So, you know, integration between the two is key, and that's something, you know, it's something we've started to see already. It's kind of out there, and it's certainly heating up at the moment.
And voice. One thing that obviously you forget is we've talked about a chatbot actually as in on a web page. what is Siri? What is Alexa?
Mm.
That is an AI. Yeah. And actually, if you
prepackaged, pre-baked AI, absolutely.
Yeah, so you can bake those into your AI solution, so people don't need to put it on the website. They can talk to their phone, and then that will input the data. And then you can automate some of those tasks. So it might be we want to do this, and then it'll maybe bring up as Alexa does a map, but it might be for, say, healthcare. I've got this surgery, and it might then go, okay, let's allocate these resources to go and undertake it.
Brilliant. So can you give some examples of where we've been, where Phoenix have been working with customers and they've maybe already adopted these types of technologies? What are we seeing out there at the minute, and what kind of projects are we working on?
So I'll start with the chatbots because they're the first couple of strands that we saw at first, and actually it's broadened out since then. First one being sort of almost that internal support chatbot of actually if they've got limited resources, actually that chatbot can start to do some of those functionalities. You can eventually then maybe bake in so it can do holiday requests. The other one is kind of that student service bot.
Mm-hmm.
Or potentially even we've spoken to some charities where actually their job is to help provide information and support. People can ask the chatbot and that chatbot can surface that support to them. So for instance, I'm feeling X or Y, what can I do about it? The chatbot can look into it and actually can curate what it does at the back end and give them the relevant resource or say, maybe you need to ring a doctor or seek professional help, and it can put them straight through in a more human way.
It does, absolutely. I think a natural injection point from a chatbot perspective, it's kind of a triage really. So it's that first, you know, that first point of call. We see that whether I'm booking car insurance or a holiday or you know, anything of a similar nature to that. Can I cope with that from a chatbot perspective? And you know, can I alleviate the need to sort of hand you off to a human? Costs a lot more money, and often fewer of those. And that's where, you know, with that university, certainly the sectors that we work with, and internally within Phoenix, that seems to be a sensible starting point from there. And naturally, it kind of expands up and above that. So we can start talking about, you know, password resets, integration with existing systems and the HR system, the holiday booking. It depends how far you want to go with that and how much, I guess, authority you want to give to that chatbot before you need to start looking at handoff.
You can also go a step further than that. This is a bit more in the future, but the technology is there nowadays. If you think about it, the machine, as I mentioned, image recognition can make sure that all of those due to their tagging, which may have at first been done by a human, then sped up by a machine once it's learned what it's looking for, can then be stored. So say somebody, a school student, might be able to go to, say, a museum, go up to the exhibition and talk with their voice to the exhibition and say, I want to see this. It will show them that. And then you say, well, why is that? And actually, that will be able to bring in those data sources to surface it. So it can revolutionise the way we engage. It brings the data to the person, allows them to navigate it at their own pace, in their own way.
So that's great, guys. We mentioned there a couple of times about, you know, maybe less reliance on humans to kind of take on some of this workload and chatbots maybe triaging some of that out. We're not talking about replacing jobs here. Let's get that right. This surely gives a client or a public sector organisation, an education organisation, that free will to then go and focus on better business outcomes, more proactive stuff rather than reactive stuff. Is that what you're...
Yeah, so AI, as we're talking about, isn't about taking away the humans. It's about empowering the humans to do where humans are needed for those more advanced functions, those more coming up with those concepts of these are things we want to look at. The AI can pull the data through, but they can do that spot, okay, this is what we want to do as an organisation. Or if we go to the chatbot, once it gets to a point that individual has been flagged as they need to speak to a human because we realise they're getting a little bit socially anxious, you put it through to a human. So it reduces the sort of more mundane, menial tasks and frees humans up for where they're needed most, because humans are the most valuable resource of any organisation. We train them, we pay them good wages, and actually they're there to deliver good business outcomes, not do a lot of that on plumbing, so to speak.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, we mentioned a lot of what we've been doing today is around the chatbot piece. If we've got some listeners kind of hearing this and thinking, yeah, that I can think of a great area that would fit within our business, where do they start? What processes do they need to put in internally? What stakeholders do they need buy-in from? And, you know, what process do they go through when selecting a partner to work with on that?
I ultimately say, as with everything, work out what the outcomes you want as a business are, work out what those processes look like now, and then consult with a partner to help them advise you on how those outcomes can be done by using AI, by maybe bringing in other elements of technology. But you've got to do it from the business outcomes approach. It's got to be, we want to do this, and then it's, we want to deliver better services and social care. And it might be, well, actually, the first thing to do that is actually you can do this, then you can use the individuals to reach out more and proactively engage with your community.
Mm-hmm. And when we engage with customers, are they engaging from a reluctant, you know, this is something we're conscious of that we need to do, or are they much more proactive and excited about this type of technology? Because to me, it sounds, it's, as we said in the beginning, it's futuristic, it's exciting. Surely, you know, I guess from a user perspective or from a kind of C-level perspective, this might be seen as, oh, we need to do this. But at an IT level, you know, how complex is that? You know, these big, long, drawn-out projects, or can we tick some boxes quite quickly with this type of technology?
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, AI is, I've said a couple of times, it's not necessarily new technology. It's gathering pace, it's gathering momentum as it's expanding. I think people do naturally approach AI with caution, really. Mm-hmm. So it's not something that we're used to. We are empowering a device or a neural network or a machine to do something that, you know, ordinarily that a human would do. To pick up off what Ben said there in terms of how, you know, how an organisation or a client could or often does engage, I think Ben's quite right. I think the first thing to work out is what you're wanting this device to do. So this piece of logic, this you know, be this a chatbot or image recognition. How do you want this to sort of manifest itself and kind of service your users? What I've seen with the experience I've had with, certainly with our guys and the customers that we work with, is scope creep is a killer. So, you know, you're going to have, once it starts to do something and everybody gets excited and it starts answering the questions and kind of firing you off in different directions, you know, a room full of hands go up and can it do this? Will you make it do this? So yeah. I think from an engagement perspective, and certainly where you're starting off, kind of rein in its capabilities, you know, have a goal with that. So if it is resetting passwords or, you know, taking a little bit of pressure off service desk, maybe processing images and tagging them, you know, all of these ideas, what I see out there in the real world. And then have some dreams, have some nice to have. So when that's all embedded and working, you know, get the guys doing something else, and it's going to expand progressively and naturally, I think, to kind of pick all these things up. But it's easy to drown in the technology, really.
Yeah, and that's one thing we're seeing a lot of, is once it's in there, people realize you can add more skills and can do the additional bit. So what could have started out as an internal IT support chatbot then becomes a HR support chatbot as well. And actually, that's something that you can look at over time. And that's just showing the value the chatbot's having, because they're always looking to bring new functionality into it and bring in new areas of the organization.
Absolutely. Well. Absolutely. I think that's key. I mean, you know, any process or any project, really, there's a time to market. So we get that, you know, up and out there. Mm-hmm. You know, work with Phoenix, work with any AI partner, really, that knows, I suppose, that technology and the capability as well. Bear in mind things like security. So, you know, to empower a system or this same bot that we've been speaking about, obviously we need some form of governance as well. Mm-hmm. So it's very easy to sort of cascade into something that has great power, and with that comes responsibility as well. So it's important that you understand the authentication flows, you know, the mechanisms. You need safeguards and guardrails, in mm-hmm. actual fact, with all of this.
Mm-hmm. So just remember that this artificial intelligent system needs to mirror what your own organizational compliance and governance and how you speak.
It does.
You need to program that into it.
It does. And I mean, it's just as it is key to program the limits into the system. So, I mean, we all know Terminator and Skynet and everything else became self-aware. I can't see an Azure chatbot doing that anytime soon, in actual fact. But it is important all the same. It's important all the same to make sure that, you know, the logic is in there. Now, we do have a lot of pre-baked templates. It's very easy. And by easy, I mean the space of sort of 5 or 10 minutes. You know, the guys out there, it's easy to spin something up and kind of program that and play with it. In terms of logic and making that something useful, while safe at the same time, that's, you know, that's the trick really, and that's where the skills come.
Yeah, and I was going to say, it's very easy to build a simple Q&A bot. It's very easy to put some functionality on top of it. Actually, when you start getting it to drive some real business value, starting to automate some of the process, I've always found expert help goes a long way. Because it's quite often that if people start on their own, you'll find that you'll see 12 months later that project's failed.
Well, as soon as you started talking about security then, I immediately went back to your password reset service desk kind of scenario. And, you know, there's potential for that if it's not set up in the right way to be exploited.
Absolutely.
Which, you know, would bring, you know, significant reputational damage to an organization, potentially financial damage. So, yeah, I guess working with someone that has the experience, has done this before, has tried and tested.
Often got that wrong, and that's where they've ended up getting that right.
Yeah, absolutely. yeah, brilliant.
And it's that compliance wrap. Internally, how they authenticate, but also externally, you don't want that chatbot to be giving stuff that could be harmful advice. Mm-hmm. You've got to put a wrap around it to make sure that that's compliant, and that's why one of the partners we work with, ICS.AI, have a governance wrap around it. Mm-hmm. So it's a single bot that's used to regulate all the other bots to actually help those bots completely meet your compliance framework. So for instance, if you ask it, I want to say do something bad, the bot would go, sorry, I can't answer that, or I think you should do something else instead.
Mm-hmm. And then there's potential to build in alerts to the security manager or whoever's involved. And,
oh, absolutely. Yeah. Yes, you can automate all those out the back. Microsoft Azure have some great functionality within it where you can set up, link it to an RPA system. You can use Power Automate to start doing some of these simple things, and you can set those alerts. So it's a brilliant backend to plug it into.
It is. And we've seen some clever ideas coming through from the customers as well. But it's still on, I suppose, the subject of chatbots, but what that can lead into. And a particular university springs to mind, in actual fact. So they've got a roadmap. They're probably well on the way to sort of further developing this roadmap, in actual fact. But they talked about integrating the chatbot into Bing Maps, in actual fact. So from a where's my next lesson or timetable perspective, you know, it's not limited in any way to a chat field. Mm-hmm. You know, we can start to bring speech into that, or voice recognition, language recognition and translation, directions, timetables. It can be as, you know, it can be as big as we want to write into that, really.
Yeah. Taking it away from bots as well, is it something you can use into increasing the efficiency of the organization? If you do start looking at it more from the data analytics and machine learning perspective,
absolutely,
you can very, very substantially improve that speed to being able to speed to action, I guess. That data will be analysed quicker, and actually it will democratise that data as well, because it'll do all that research and make it available to the right individuals, which allows the business to make quicker, better informed business decisions as well.
It's brilliant. So, you know, we talked a lot about the chatbot side of things. We've touched on a few other areas. You know, it sounds like the chatbots are quite a mature part of the market now. You know, everyone's either thought about it or thinking
it's
about
a great
it,
starting point, Johnny. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. What do you guys see as kind of the next big thing when we're talking about AI or, you know, big data, that kind of stuff? Where do you see it going next within public sector specifically?
I see AI as in the chatbots as almost the exchange online of the modern workplace. It's that first route in is that chatbot. But actually, as soon as that chatbot's in there, you start exploring how those analytics, how that machine learning.
So that's the platform to then build other initiatives on?
Not necessarily the platform, but it can do that. But it's often people's first taste of it, because people have experienced it on a website and they've gone, oh, that's really good for us. But once they've done that, they realise that that can start providing useful analytical results. And then it'll be, okay, we've got all this data sitting across these different silos in the organisation. Hang on a minute, if we put that in a data warehouse in Azure and apply some machine learning to that, there's stuff they can learn that is impossible now with it sitting across so many different areas. It doesn't just make that data more readily available to the business. It makes so much more data readily available as well.
Mm-hmm. You know, just to echo some of his comments there, chatbot, it's certainly an entry point. It's measurable. Mm-hmm. You know, from an organization perspective, how can we get into AI? You know, get this platform together and kind of integrated, rolled in, and it works or it doesn't. So it's a nice, easy start. When we start to look at things like analytics, how we can increase speed or recognition, spotting patterns, all of this is possible. And fundamentally, it's the same back end that's going to do that. Only it's a different interface. It's a different way of exploiting the power of AI and this network that's available, really.
And a brilliant thing I found out about this as well is it image recognition can be used in so many different ways. So, for instance, it can be in a security camera and spotting people pickpocketing. So the camera does that, but actually you can train the box so the box doesn't need to be online, and you can have a locally trained AI turning the camera on when it spots people moving or acting in a certain way and going to a certain shelf. Mm-hmm. And then when that then triggers an alert so somebody can go see it. So that's in the retail space where it could be used. If you think about the Amazon store that they've got, where you can come in and it'll know exactly what's in your basket when you go through it. Mm-hmm. That's image recognition with AI also around what's being taken off shelves, that allows them to go so far as to say that they allow people to just automatically say they've not got it and they'll fully refund them, because they're that confident that the AI can spot what they're picking up accurately.
Absolutely. And I suppose image processing or image analytics, that's another great starting point, something else that's easily measurable, really, from that perspective. So some of the social networking sites and image categorization, AI, it's quite a powerful system from a conversion perspective as well, to look at a user in a swimsuit versus somebody swimming or somebody naked, and having that ability to spot and notice the difference between these three images, and discard one or flag one for review by a human, versus that's a guy stood on a beach with a pair of shorts on, that's fine. Yeah. And it can really speed things up. And we've already said AI doesn't tire. It's tireless, it's relentless. It can move through images a lot faster than a group of humans, really, from that perspective.
And that's the strength of AI. It doesn't need to be structured or unstructured. It can do structured, semi-structured and unstructured. It can combine them all into a single usable report. So you can theoretically, if you can link it to, say, Twitter, and if people are tweeting about certain things in maybe the local area, it can see what people are tweeting. It can say whether they're positive or negative. So actually, local councils can also use that to see whether people are happy or dissatisfied with the services they're providing to the community. They can then tie that to maybe the number of policemen in that area, and then that can then see, and it can spot trends across it all. It doesn't have to be any one form. It can analyse all that data and just give you business outcomes.
Yeah. So from a cost perspective, when people are looking at building these solutions out, there's the infrastructure this sits on, and we've said that can be in the cloud, on-premise. There's the processes or code that needs to go into that, and probably some consultancy around that. Are there any other considerations that people need to take from a cost perspective?
The time as well, and the data you have, because the AI is only as useful as the data sources that go into it. Mm-hmm. So if it's something that's easily repeatable and you've got pre-written scripts and you've got a load of call logs that the AI can scan and you can train it, say this is how it behaves, that's fine. But that AI needs to learn from something. So you kind of, in the same way you have to train a human, you've got to train the AI, and that needs a human there to do that training as well over the initial period.
It's your typical garbage in, garbage out. Yeah. Feed the AI, feed the mechanism with useful data. Agree collectively what that's going to be. I think you're onto certainly a good set of starting blocks then to get something useful from there.
Yeah, brilliant. Well, thanks, guys. I think we've got some pretty good content there. Just like to thank you all for joining me today. Have you enjoyed your time on pod?
It's been a nice first attempt. It's been great. Don't invite me again, guys.
It's been nice to have you all, guys. So that's it for this episode. Thanks for listening, and we hope you found it of use. Please get in touch if you want to discuss any of the points further. And if you want to support what we do, please share and subscribe, and we'll see you in the next episode of Pod.